Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
I'm calling about some really big developments this week in the Bundy case.
Okay.
The Bundy standoff trial. What right. has come to light is a letter from the former chief investigator for the BLM in the Bundy standoff.
That's Bureau of Land Management.
Yeah, and that is the government arm which was responsible for the standoff with the Bundys. It was a standoff between the Bundys and the BLM.
Right. This was back in, 2014 or something?
That's correct.
Okay.
So this letter alleges serious misconduct on the part of the BLM and on the part of the prosecution. The guy who wrote this letter, Larry Wooten, a special agent for the BLM, who was in charge of the investigation, just before the trial, the first trial earlier this year, he reminded the prosecutor of a number of things he thought had not been divulged to the defense in discovery, and he was immediately taken off the case at the request of the prosecutor, and he was told that he could not discuss anything about the case except with his superior at the BLM. It's also alleged that Daniel P. Love, who was the chief law enforcement officer for the BLM and completely running the standoff, it's being said that he had a kill list on his desk.
Whoa, that sounds bad.
Yeah, he had a kill list on his desk, and he also bragged of causing other suspects in similar cases to commit suicide from the way his department went after them.
That is sick. Now, this is what the former bureaucrat who worked there is alleging.
This is what he is alleging. Now, in the meantime, Daniel P. Love has been drummed out of the BLM for total corruption, for lying, for intimidating witnesses. This has been kept out of the Bundy trial so far.
I was going to say, none of this is going to make it into in front of the jury, right? Like, this is all amazing, outrageous information, but I suspect it's going to be kept secret from the jury.
Well, they've been kept from calling Daniel P. Love so far because the judge has been saying, well, his misconduct, we don't know of any misconduct he had that's related to this case. Well, this guy's giving tons of misconduct by Daniel P. Love that's totally related to this case. So that would seem to make it possible to bring Daniel P. Love in. Now, I think the trial can't continue at this point. You can't have a trial where you bring in a witness who's going to testify against the prosecutor.
What is the best way to turn Bitcoin into dollars if you're living in a...
You mean Bitcoin Core, BTC?
Yes.
Okay. If you're living in a what?
Well, if you're living in Asheville or a city of the approximate size, 70,000.
Now, are we talking about on the books? Easiest way would include all different options, right? Not just anonymous?
Yes, all different options.
Okay. So the easiest way, as much as I hate to say it, it's probably maybe Coinbase, although BitPay, I think, is making a strong play to be easier because BitPay, they have the BitPay card. They've got the BitPay debit card, which you can load with Bitcoin, but it's actually not, it doesn't hold Bitcoin. So what happens is you sign up for this debit card. I think you have to pay like 10 or 15 bucks to actually get the card itself. I don't believe there's a monthly fee unless you don't use the card. So if there's no activity, then they hit you with like a $5 per month fee. But as long as you're using the card, you don't get hit with a fee, I believe. So BitPay's card will allow you to send Bitcoin. And then at the time that you send the Bitcoin to the card, it converts that right then into dollars and puts that on the card. Now, Coinbase also has the Shift card.
So you could take the card to an ATM?
I guess you can do that with debit cards, but I imagine there's a fee to go to an ATM, but perhaps. If we see Coinbase do a full rollout on Bitcoin Cash next year, I mean, Bitcoin Core is going to have a tough, tough time. It's already heating up for Bitcoin Core out there with competition with Bitcoin Cash, because now they got blockchain.info, one of the world's largest Bitcoin wallet providers. It's been around forever. They just rolled out full Bitcoin Cash support. So now it's Bitcoin Core, Ether, and Bitcoin Cash on blockchain.info. Over at BitPay, they're just this weekend, they announced they're rolling out Bitcoin Cash early 2018 across their whole platform. And then Coinbase has said months ago that they're going to add Bitcoin Cash, but we don't know to what extent. Is it going to be a full implementation where you'll be able to cash out to a bank account? If so, that will be very useful.
I heard yesterday, toward the end of the show, you got into solar energy and the economics of alternative energy.
Right.
And I was trying to call in, but it was just too busy and the show ran out.
Yeah.
So I was, it sounded like you were kind of stuck on the idea of whether or not a city could mandate solar panels on building new homes. And
no, we didn't get stuck on that. We're against any kind of mandates. Of course, cities can mandate anything they want. They've got men with guns who will enforce their will on innocent, peaceful people. That's how cities work. So, of course, they can do that, but they shouldn't.
Yeah, that's why I say you're stuck on it, because if you the earlier caller that was talking about there's a town in Southern California out in the desert called Lancaster, and they've got a Republican mayor down there, and he's the one that is very into solar, and he was the one that was able to pass the legislation.
What legislation is that?
That all new construction has to have some solar option.
Is this of California or just this one town?
No. Just the the kickoff was that town.
What is different about paying for power through to a corporation as opposed to paying for milk, butter, and cheese?
Well, in the case of milk, butter, and cheese, the biggest single answer is that if you were to decentralize milk, butter, and cheese, you could have a dairy down the street. You could have a dairy and local money will tend to stay in the county or in the region or in the state. But when you get into the deregulation of electricity happened in 1996.
We had a local power plant in the left, and it was a nuclear power plant. It was called Vermont Yankee. And lefties protested it to the point that they finally shut it down. And Vermont Yankee basically built the town of Vernon, Vermont. It handed out money to the schools. It supported local charities. It did all kinds of things. But Entergy, who bought Vermont Yankee some years ago, basically stopped pumping money into southern Vermont as a result, because their power plant was gone. And I mean, they were gone. And it really sort of wiped out that town.
I wanted to get some input on the fires in California. Do you know if they're got an arsonist in the area or something?
Arsonists. It could happen. I remember there was a story here in New Hampshire. There was a big old fire. And, Mark, you're a fireman. We'll get into one of your fireman stories here in a moment. But, Patrick, thanks for the question tonight. We definitely appreciate it. In New Hampshire, there was a fireman who had actually started a fire.
This happens on a relatively regular basis. Turns out that people who get into the career of fighting fires like fire,
really,
in some cases, and some of them like it enough that they're willing to commit arson.
Does that make them a psychopath or a sociopath or what? Because that's pretty messed up.
An arsonist.
Yeah.
I don't know what the answer is to that.
Because, I mean, the arsonist may not be doing it to try to hurt someone, right? They may just be doing it because they like fire, like you're saying. They like to look at it, or to play with it, or to put it out, or whatever their fire
fetish
is.
The name of the organization is, Ian, but it's like the American League of Psychiatry or something like that. Mm. They have a specific rule for the people, the psychiatrists that belong to this organization, against diagnosing people with whom they have not personally met. So I would suggest that the people
I'm not a psychiatrist
part of that organization would probably recommend that you, a person who is A, not qualified to diagnose somebody, and B, not present, should shut the F up. I will not go on the record as saying A, that Bitcoin is not in a bubble, nor will I go on the record as saying that B, Bitcoin is
an adoption curve.
Is not an adoption curve. I don't know the answer to that. I wouldn't propose to know.
Nobody knows.
I know the old saying is that when you're getting investment advice from your shoeshine boy, it's time to get out of the market. Mm. You're in a bubble. And Bitcoin is totally become ubiquitous. You know, like people know the word now. They don't know much about it, but they know the word. And does that mean that we're in a bubble? Or does it mean that now Bitcoin, because people know the word dollar too, and that thing has been on a steady decline since 1913.
One thing you could do is if you bought at 9,000 and it's now around 18,000, then you could sell half of what you have and lock in.
Then you're at
your original
net
investment,
zero, right?
And
right.
Then yeah. You're at least going to have the amount of Bitcoin as profit.
Right. When I see these stories of people who are mortgaging their houses to get into Bitcoin,
Didn't you do that?
Makes me very frightened. But I mortgaged my house to get more heavily in Bitcoin.
It's a risk.
Right.
That's a big risk.
I had felt this sort of sense of missing. I had taken 1,000 Bitcoins and sold them for $1,000 to show you and my wife that, hey, people, this is real money. Would you stop being so scared?
You can't get a job. You can't go forward. You can't go to college. Now, I'm gonna save the college topic for a minute.
But hold on, you can't get a job. What about you can't get a job?
Without a high school diploma.
False. You can absolutely get a job without a high school diploma.
When was the last time you showed your high school diploma for anything?
Well, you got a good point on that, but our society requires any job you apply for pretty much says, do you have a high school diploma or GED equivalency?
I imagine that they do, but I guess that my thought process on that is that the only people who need a high school diploma are people that are only marginally qualified to have one. So in 10th grade at 16 years old, and I think that's the age that you can take the GED, look, this is not legal advice. If I would have taken the GED, dropped out of school, and gone to work full time, I don't think my life would have been markedly different, except for the fact that I probably wouldn't have ended up in prison because of school.
There's a lot of advantages to government school. You're going to get taxed for it regardless. It's never going to go away. The government school is never going to go away. So why don't you go and take advantage of it?
But what's the advantage? Hold on. Just because it's not going to go away, that's not an advantage. Just because they're forcing you to pay for it, that's not an advantage.
No.
In order for it to have an advantage, you would have to compare it to some other form of learning. So what is the advantage of going to a government school as opposed to, say, homeschool or unschool, for instance, or even private school?
Private school is a joke, too, because to me, it's just regulated by the government.
If I would have stayed in private school, I also would not have gone to prison. At this point, the only thing I can say about government school is I ended up in prison because of it.
Did you meet the wrong people?
Right. Okay. That's right. Do you want to send your middle-class kid to the best education that they can get with the best kids that they can find, or do you want to send them to the day prison where they learn how to knife fight and cuss?
Every homeschooled or unschooled child I've ever known seems to have all the advantages. So what is the advantage? Let's just keep to homeschooling and unschooling. What's the advantage of government school?
Well, I think because you're with a broader group of people. You're with more people.
That's actually not necessarily true. Hold on. You're with more people your age in a government school. But outside of a government school, homeschool or unschool, you can get involved in all kinds of different interest groups within a huge age range of people.
I wanted to get a copy of my electric bill because I'm trying to get grants for my home that was damaged from the Sandy storm.
Okay, that's some time ago, yeah.
It used to be the owner used to be the boxing champion of the world in 1926, Peter Latzo. And I've been trying to save this house. I'm doing everything to save it because they want me to get rid of it. But anyway, back to this. I was in the hospital. I had some very serious issues. I had a bad accident, but I recovered and so forth.
Before you go on, Marie, when you say they want you to get rid of it, who is that?
Well, it's the people in Margate where I live.
Because
the house needs work, and it's an eyesore for people.
It's the people. Your neighbors want you to get rid of it, or the government?
Yeah, I believe that. No, the neighbors.
So
I
they've said things to you?
No, it was all done in a different way. It was done like calling the authorities, code enforcement.
Back in 1969, I was a senior in high school, and a student I went to high school with earlier He left and got his GED. He was in second year of community college with a 4.0 average. But the only reason we knew about it, because he was in trouble with a bartender, too. The bartender overheard the people that went to the bar that they were going on vacation. So this kid I knew with the bartender broke into the home. It became not a burglary, a home invasion. And they killed the two people in the house. How bright was he? I don't want to paint him with a broad brush. That would be sexist. I guess I would say a wide brush. But he was so intelligent that him and the other guy went to prison for a long time for killing them two people.
Jeez.
But he got his GED.
Well, you know, all I can say is that government schools are very well represented in the prison system.
Yeah, I bet that's true. Carl, anything
else?
Well,
I don't think you can blame the schools for him involved in murdering them two people, can you?
I don't know what I would blame, but it does seem like an interesting correlation, right? Like government schools,
yeah.
Far more people who are in prison went to government schools than other, you know,
but
private schools.
But most people go to government schools. It's probably like 90%
right,
or something.
I think it's about 85%, but I would bet you that the representation in prison
is higher
than 85%. Like, I don't think there's
Did you know any homeschoolers while you were in prison?
I can't think of one.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy, so I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
I can tell you at my private school, I remember sort of this third grader befriended me, and I don't know whether I was in kindergarten or first grade or whatever, but I sort of went looking for him and, you know, somehow ended up at the classroom. Maybe he was second grade. I don't know exactly what it was, but he was a couple of grades above me. And I ended up at the classroom at recess time, sort of asking his teacher, you know, where he was. And, you know, admittedly, it was quite naive to go asking his teacher where he was on the playground or whatever to play with. But she basically said, you shouldn't be playing with him.
Wow.
He's too old.
2 years older?
You should be playing with kids in your class.
My God, that's insane.
Right, yeah. And for instance, if you go back to the K through when one-room schoolhouse, when all ages were in one room, there was less problems in society, I believe. I mean, there's other factors that go into that as well. And then I went to high school when I lived in a small town in Minnesota. We had K through 12 all in the same school.
Mm-hmm.
And so you'd be walking through the halls and there'd be seniors and kindergartners, you know, mixing to some degree. I mean, not completely. I mean, the little kids were kept pretty much in the room all day, but you'd pass them in the halls and talk to them. It made for a lot healthier environment, in my assessment.
There are some interesting distinctions here that you did point out, that they say the DSM, which is the, you know, God book or whatever of the psychological
Diagnostic
business,
and Statistical Manual of Mental Health Disorders.
Yeah, apparently it does not actually include psychopath or sociopath.
Right. These are old terms that people like. They've got a lot of sort of baggage over time. They've got momentum, I guess, is probably the best way to describe them. And, you know, that this is Free Talk Live is not a technical show. We go with the mo. And, you know, so consequently, the difference between a psychopath and a sociopath is whether they have a conscience to some extent, right? So a psychopath basically doesn't have a conscience. A sociopath has one, but it's weak. So a psychopath says if he lies to you so that he can steal your money, he won't feel any moral qualms, though he may pretend to. He may observe others and then act the way they do so as not to be found out. So he mimics a conscience.
Right.
But doesn't necessarily have one. A sociopath typically has a conscience, but it's weak. He may know that taking your money is wrong, and he may feel some guilt or remorse, but that won't stop the behavior.
Apparently, the solar industry has purchased or bribed the Maine state legislature into doing this.
Okay.
Because it wouldn't happen any other way. So
that sounds right.
I, So I just, you guys, great discussion. Yep. I just wanted to.
It's an even better point. I wish it would have come to mind. Yeah.
Now, are you speculating on that, or do you have evidence that that's actually what happened?
Oh, no evidence. No evidence.
Okay.
It's pure speculation, but things.
Well, I thought you
happen.
Said from listening to the show accident. That you. Yeah, I heard that. Okay.
Yeah. No, it's not speculative.
For 10 years of listening, I know how these things happen.
Well, I mean, it's not necessarily like that. Okay, so let me give you an example. I don't know what Maine's number of state reps are, but here in New Hampshire, there's quite a few of them. There's 400 state representatives, and so it would be very difficult to bribe, you know, half of those.
I shouldn't use that word.
Yeah, he's using the term broadly. What he means is lobbied.
Contributions, influencing, glad-handing, backslapping. If you sign on for this, I'll sign on for that.
It's likely that something like that is occurring at some level. But at the same time, you know, a lot of these legislatures, and I would be interested to see what Maine pays their legislators, if it's, you know, tremendous amount or if it's a low amount. Because I know here in New Hampshire, it's $100 a year to be a state legislator. And that's not exactly somebody that's really.
I know. But Paul approached you with this case, he used this newspeak term. Well, we're pioneers, and pioneers should benefit.
It would take somebody like a Daryl W. Perry from LibertyLobby.info, which we have here in New Hampshire, or the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance, you know, to go into these hearings to speak against the solar committee folks and, you know, give reasons why, hey, you know, this may sound like a good thing. We're not against solar power. But here's why subsidies are a bad idea. And then you have to explain, because to be a state legislator, you don't have to know anything about economics. You don't have to know anything about anything except how to get elected.
Daryl would have a challenge getting on the calendar and being heard in a timely manner. These people build caucuses, one hand washes the other. Look, if you back me on this, I'll back you on that. And, you know, you get these type of arrangements.
Oh, wow. So, they actually make quite a bit. 13 grand a year. I mean, for up here. I'm used to $100.
The 13 grand a year is bad for a state legislature.
For other states, yeah, compared to other states.
New Hampshire is the worst as far as
it's the best.
Goes.
New Hampshire's the best because it's
sure
only $100 a year.
No, I'm not sure I agree with you. You consider that a benefit.
Yeah, it is, dude. What would you be against that for?
I'd like to talk about little free libraries. I just think it's a great opportunity to expose people to books you like.
Yeah, these are
versus
cool.
Versus using a government library. I've been I put some of my own books out there. Also,
cool.
fee.org, you can buy books in bulk for under a dollar. You can get Economics in One Lesson.
Wow.
It's a trade paperback, but it's not the best, but it's still readable.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. If people can read it, if it's got words in it, you know, then that's good. Can you define the little free library for people that may be unfamiliar or have not seen these before?
Yeah, they have their own website, littlefreelibrary.org, and it looks sort of like a bird box on a post.
Right.
And people put books in, and then people take books out. It's no cost. It's just sort of like a neighborhood thing.
Yeah, I've seen one. There's actually there's two of them at least that I know of here in downtown Keene, New Hampshire. I'm not much of a reader, so I don't spend any time, you know, looking at what's in there. But I think for people that are into books, this is a really great idea that will help get the ideas of, let's say, liberty, for instance, out there if you put the books in there.
You're going to get a kick out of this. Do you know how much representatives in the Ohio House of Representatives make?
I'm going to guess $30,000.
$60,000 a year.
Oh, man. and how many of them are there?
I'm not sure the exact number, okay. But I know my local one, Tim Ginter, confirmed that, yes, they make $60,000 as their base salary. And I think that creates a big problem because I don't think legislating should be something you do for a living or for profit. I don't believe in the politician. You know, when it comes to their salary, I think they should be like RC100. They make nothing. Mm-hmm. But I believe in the idea of statesmen, where you can go to work. You can be a teacher, a cashier, whatever. But when you have the free time, you go to the state house and you legislate, because then there's not really a conflict of interest there. You know, you're not doing this for a living. You're not doing whatever you can to get elected. If some people might look at the $60,000 a year salary here in Ohio and think, darn, I might as well not be, you know, a cashier or something like that. I can just win the seat with a couple hundred votes in one of the least populated districts, and I can make more money than anybody
else.
And
then you can stay there forever, because once you're the incumbent, you'll never get, you know, elected away.
I don't know, but I'd be willing. Yes, Ohio does have term limits. That just means that they pop around to different positions as opposed to staying at the same one. I don't know, but I would be willing to guess that most of the 99 state reps that are in Ohio are probably unsuccessful attorneys who decided ambulance chasing was a little too much for them, so they went on to work at the state house. Is the main legislator who gets $14,000 a year, are they looking for a paycheck, or are they looking to make their community better? All I'm saying is, Ian, that purporting this $100 a year as a solution to anything is dubious at best.
No, I didn't say it was a solution to anything. I just said it's better than paying these people because, number one, you don't have to pay them as much, which means the government's a little bit smaller. And number two, it keeps these people, keeps their egos in check, I think, to some extent.
I don't think it does. I mean, they're all about those license plates and those sorts of things. They've got the same ego. They want.
Oh, great. They get a license plate that means they don't get pulled over when they're driving to the state.
They get a license plate that says at the grocery store when somebody walks by their car, they say, oh, that's a state rep. They get a special license plate.
Sure.
It says state rep on it.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true. That's true.
So I think that.
I bet they have that in Maine, too.
I bet they do.
Yeah.
I don't think that there's a glass of hog spit difference between paying your representative $19,000 a year, $14,000 a year, and or $100. I just don't think there's any big difference.
Really?
I think that you might get
there's
a few more young people.
There's a factor of 10 difference.
I think you might get a few more young people to be involved with the $14,000 a year.
I thought you meant $100,000. Okay. So, yeah, there would be a
right. I would be against paying that
amount,
but I am just saying that you might get some more.
So some amount is too much for you?
Yes. I propose the state reps just go right ahead and change the Constitution so it says they need a 75% vote to bring a law in and a 50% vote to bring to get rid of a law. And then you'd see some stuff starting to get done in Concord. But, you know, that's not going to happen because the old people that you're so happy are getting paid $100 a year aren't going to do that because they don't want small government.
Well, they're all going to die at some point, Mark. So
and they'll
really
be replaced
matter.
By other old people just
no,
as they always
there
have
are a
been
lot
in
of,
New Hampshire.
A lot of libertarians of younger ages who are running and they're winning. I mean, the fact is you don't have to be old. You can just be independently wealthy. And there are a ton of cryptocurrency people coming in here.
Why in the world would a cryptocurrency person want to run for office if you're independently
wealthy? I don't know,
Mark.
Maybe the reason they moved to New Hampshire was because they wanted to get more freedom in their lifetime. They're joining this New Hampshire freedom migration that we talk about every single night here
on
Free Talk Live.
Rich people have plenty of freedom. It's the poor people they're supposed to represent that need the freedom, Ian.
My local representative in the state house was a minister at a large church around here, and the only reason he got elected is because all of his church buddies went out and voted for him. He used it as a career. And if you're not paying people much of anything, they're not going to see it as a career. Now, are you going to get some old people who are living off of Social Security now and just want something to do? Of course, but what system would you prefer, Mark? Would you prefer the possibility of getting actual people who believe in liberty in there? Or would you rather pay them $30,000 a year and make it a career?
$30,000 is not a career by any stretch of the imagination. People that liberty-minded people are going to try to get in no matter what, and the only thing that's stopping them, from what I can tell here in New Hampshire, is that they have to work real jobs.
Yeah, well, they're not going to have to for long because a lot of them have cryptocurrency, and that's what my recent open letter was about that I wrote over at freekeen.com inviting, hey, libertarians, voluntarists, anarchists, those of you out there who either – already have tremendous wealth that you've never possibly could have imagined for yourself because of your cryptocurrency investments in the early days, you really need to get up here to New Hampshire because we already have the best libertarian group here. It's growing. There are thousands who've moved here and thousands more are coming as part of the New Hampshire Freedom Migration. Many of them are into cryptocurrency. Some got in early. Some of them didn't get in early, but they are well aware of crypto and they want to acquire it. Many of these people, whether they are immediately wealthy or will be in another year or two, this is a game changer for politics.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.